Ed Helmrich, Larchmont, New York. I think the biggest danger right now is that the president's health care bill, if it passes, will expand abortion in the United States to the largest degree since the passage of Roe v. Wade and euthanasia. I know it would be a disaster.
Health care, expanding abortion? Well, that's one of the issues that David Kirkpatrick is here to talk about. He's a Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Why would that listener be talking about that? Well, we've seen it before. Let me set it up here. The big debates and landmark pieces of legislation tend to bring out the big guns on Capitol Hill, not the senior senators, not the celebrity photo ops. No, procedural ploys and legislative gambits to derail legislation. And, you know, you might see an amendment supporting troops in Iraq and Afghanistan to force a vote on some unrelated issue. But abortion is entering the health care debate. It may be a symbolic vote and an ideological showdown issue in the past, but here it's not unrelated to health care, and it could be very, very crucial. David Kirkpatrick, how is abortion on a collision course with the health care debate? And you heard that listener there.
For about 30 years now, the status quo in Washington has been no federal funds, no taxpayer monies should go to pay for abortion. And right now, in the context of the health care debate, everybody agrees with that, at least on paper. The president has said many times he's going to be sure that's the case. The Democratic leaders in Congress also agree. But the problem is that the nature of health care reform is to extend the federal government's role in providing health insurance. So you're going to have the federal government paying, subsidizing health care for millions of people. And that raises the novel question. Will the government allow those people? Will it support those people when they buy health care, health insurance that covers abortion? Or won't they? And how are you going to make that distinction? So now come some Democrats who say, all right, we worked out a system. We'll require the insurance companies that receive these public subsidies to cover millions of Americans to keep their money in two different vaults, so to speak. Their public money over here and their private money from co-payments or premiums over here, and that private money they can use to pay for abortion.
So that would be a matter of accounting, enforcing it by forcing insurance companies to say, all right, if there are abortions covered under this plan, they come from money that has nothing to do with a public subsidy that someone might have to actually buy that insurance, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they say, well, look, we've got, you know, 17 states have Medicaid programs that cover abortion. Medicaid, as you know, is partly funded by the
right.
federal government and partly by the states. And these 17 states do the same thing. They segregate out their federal funds. They use their state funds to cover abortion. But now comes people on the other side, including many conservative Democrats, who say, wait a second, you know, you're talking about a line in an accounting book and a ledger dividing public money from abortion. That seems bogus to me. There's nothing in here that's going to discourage abortion. In fact, you're going to be helping a lot of people buy health care coverage that will encourage abortion.
David, let's talk about what that listener was just saying there. I mean, his impression was that the net effect of the plan as being considered right now in Congress would expand federally supported abortions to an extraordinary degree, and he calls it a disaster. Is he right about that? Can you make that argument?
No, he's wrong about that. You know, this bill is not going to increase or decrease the number of abortions. That's a mischaracterization. I mean, there are real moral stakes if you consider the use of taxpayer funds to pay for abortions to be a moral issue. But in point of fact, studies have shown, for example, that not that many women who seek abortions even bother to file a claim with their insurer if their insurer covers it. I think something like 18% of abortions are paid for by insurance. Partly, you know, you can ask yourself why that is, but I think a lot of women who are going through the procedure just decide they don't want to involve a third party. So it's not like there's no scenario here where the extension of this insurance coverage causes a lot of women to rush to doctors to have abortions performed, or on the contrary, penalizes them in such a way that they won't.
Right.
Be able to obtain abortions.
Well, in the last couple of seconds, the scenario that is likely, though, is that the voltage in the health care reform debate is going to be raised because of this issue, abortion. True or false?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the most emotional issues in the country for the last 30 years. And whenever you add abortion to any debate, you might as well just turn up the heat.
All right. Well, that's definitely going to be happening here. David Kirkpatrick, Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, talking about the abortion issue in the health care reform debate. Thank you, David.
It's a pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.